You're the one that I run to. Teach me how do I know you more. Lord, I give you my life. Take it all as a living sacrifice. If you want in my heart, you can have it all. That's a living sacrifice. You are the treasure I see. I lay my life down as an offering. Lord, do whatever you please, for you're the one that I run to. Teach me how do I know.
Easier banking anywhere.
You can have it all. Yes, you can. You can have it all. Oh, God. You can have it all. I yield to you. You can have it all. Take it all. You can have it all. It's, I pray. You can have it all. You can have it all. Make it your prayer. You can have it all.
Take what doesn't belong.
You can have it all.
Take what doesn't belong.
You can have it all.
Have my life, oh God.
You can have it all.
You can have my yes.
Your home, your dwelling place, Jesus. I will be your home, your dwelling place.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. So wonderful to be here with you, as it is every day, to worship the Lord. And you know what I've noticed about Rise Up? I've noticed that we have never really played anything other than worship music. Like, we have played, you know, a few songs that are popular, but worship music is definitely what we do here on Rise Up, to get that Holy Spirit going in the morning, to get that the hair standing up on your back of your neck and on your arms, to get the goosebumps. I mean, all of that is like, it's like that first 10 minutes of the show is just gearing up to worship God. And it's worship in real time you're worshiping, but you're building that worship like that super soaker that we talked about every day or the other day. You're building up the pressure. You're building it up the worship. The voices are joining in. The people are sharing the video. As the people share the video, as the people share the gospel and not gossip, which is exactly what Jesus instructed us to do to every creature on earth, as that happens more and more, more voices come in, and then the message is lifted up higher. And as more voices come in and fill that bottom section and lift up the next person, and another person comes in and lifts up that person, sooner or later, ladies and gentlemen, our voices all together in fellowship are worshiping God at an all-time high. We are literally 0 to 100 in our worship of God, and it really just brings such joy to my spirit every day. No matter what I'm going through before I get here, no matter what I go through after both shows are done, no matter what's going on in my private life, my professional life, no matter what, this hour fixes and resets everything for me. This is, for me, my holy well. This is where I go every single day at this time to pull up more grace, more scripture, more mercy, more love, more light from that well of heaven that I get to go to and visit every morning. And without it, I am a mess. So, if that sounds like your journey, then I guess you're in the right place. I want to thank you for being here on this April 16th, year of our Lord, 2024. We're already halfway through April, folks. The days are going by fast. The months are going by fast. As we get older, the years are going by fast. But one thing is for sure, God is on the move during all of that. No matter what's going on, God's on the move. Amanda says, more joy with Rise Up. I agree. Good morning to Watercop. Good morning, Lala Artcore. How are you? Good morning, Kittenhead. So, guys, because we're only going to be about 6 hours from the Ark, I don't know if you guys know it right now, but Ken Ham and the team down at the Creation Museum Ark region, they're building like a big welcome center, and that big welcome center is going to be basically like the streets of Jerusalem of that time. And if you've never been to the Creation Museum or the Ark, I definitely suggest going. But because we're only going to be 6 hours away, it's going to make our visit together at the Ark, and I say it's going to be next summer, not this summer coming up, but maybe at the end of the summer. I don't know. Whenever God says it's going to be, it's going to be amazing. And I'm only going to be 6 hours from it. It could possibly be at the end of this summer. I don't know. But what I do know is I am going to ask Ray Comfort to baptize me there. So I don't know if Ray will do that. I don't know if Ray does that. And if Ray can't or doesn't or can't be there, I'm going to ask Mr. Ken Ham if he will. And the reason why I say these guys is because these guys were a big part of my journey with Jesus. They were a big part in holding my hand and leading me there. They had a big part in that. So I just have this, the Holy Spirit has been telling me a lot lately that this is what I need to do. And I'd love to do it once the Welcome Center is opened. It's in construction right now. But I think going to this Welcome Center, seeing this ambiance of the streets of Jerusalem during that time, and then going back and visiting the Ark and the Creation Museum again, and then getting baptized and getting to meet all of you, it's going to be the pinnacle of my journey with Jesus to that point. It's going to be the pinnacle of it. Worship our Lord with praise as we lift one another up and encourage in truth. Amen. Mad Test says, my daughter visited the Ark with her youth group and loved it. I have to go there with the hubby, trying to plan a camping trip soon. That's what we did when we went. We did camping. I wish I could go, but in this economy, we can't. That's why I'm thinking maybe next summer. I think the Welcome Center will be done by then. Trump will be in the White House. God will be everywhere all over the United States. The revival, the Jesus revival will continue to happen through Donald Trump's presidency. And I just think God is setting everything up to make America godly again. I really do. I really do. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, as we're approaching 1,000 people here, I would ask that you please make sure that you are signed in. Make sure you can Rumble, which is just a thumbs up. Turn that thumbs up box green, or that little oval box there green. And yes, it would be my first time actually being baptized, submerged and baptized. I don't consider what I did with the Congregational Church my first month of becoming a Christian baptism. It's in Kentucky. The Ark is in Kentucky. There is a creek near there called Elijah. I know. And I know you and little David know about that, Kalia. And we have something that we're going to do when we're down there together as well with little David, from what I understand. But yes, we will raise money. That Slurp Fund will be extended, how much we want to put in there whenever this trip comes up. And we will raise money for months for people who just can't make it. Because I want everybody who can be there to be there. Now, today's show, I did not title. By the way, share the video. Get that out there. Share the gospel, not the gossip. That's what we need. We should have 2,000 people in here every day, especially with our audience. And that's on us. We have to do that, okay? Good morning, Angel Girl. Good to see you. So I didn't send out a newsletter this morning, but I titled the show Celebrating Others. And I want to go to prayer now. And then I want to get into this because it sounds like it's going to be a different kind of a sermon or a different kind of a message, I guess, from God than it looks like at the first glance of the title. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's ask for discernment and understanding in today's message so we can really, really hit it home, okay? All right. Lord and Heavenly Father, what a wonderful, beautiful, amazing day because you made it and everything in it. Every day is a second chance. How many second chances will you, Lord, being so great, give us who does not deserve to be in heaven? How many second chances do we get? How many second chances do we give others? I think that's the real question that we need to ask ourselves. But Lord, you are so great, so powerful, and so mighty. Are you being praised the way you should? That's the message today. In a world of celebrating so many things that we can't do and hold as great, how much greater are you? That's the message today. That's what I'm asking you to help guide us through today so that we can get a better understanding of how much too much of a good thing can be bad for us. We thank you for today. We thank you for the people that are in the audience. Thank you for the family. Lord, we ask that you weigh on everybody's heart to share this video, no matter how much they don't do that, so that we can share this gospel today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I I want to read the description of today's show, and then I'll get into it. So this is episode number 337 of Rise Up, quickly on our way to 400 and beyond. Why do we act so crazy when our favorite sports teams make a big play or win the championship? Why do we act that same way when our favorite politician has a great speech or wins an election? Why do we as humans celebrate others' greatness so much and go bonkers when they do great things that we can't do? Ladies and gentlemen, the answer is we were designed that way. But that's what we'll get into. We were designed that way, but somewhere along the lines, everything went wrong. Let's talk about it today. Please help me share the gospel, not the gossip, as we break down the word from our God and Creator. And I'd like to thank Trumpet Daily, who was an integral part of being the one and only sponsor Rise Up has ever, ever, ever partnered with, because it is so special and holy. I want to spend the hour talking about God. And the only sponsor that I would want for this show is a godly sponsor. And Trumpet Daily was that sponsor, which helped build the Christian school that my kids attended for so many years. So make sure you guys download the podcasts, watch the show every night here at 9 p.m., and make sure, ladies and gentlemen, that you go to trumpetdaily.com and sign up for their newsletter, because they're a great bunch of people. Kat said, I just shared a second round. That's the only way to do it. How much would you like to share the word of God? Just one time and say, I already did it. That's not what God would want us to do. We need to pepper this gospel everywhere, folks. All right. I want to talk about something. I want to actually put my headphones on here because I want to show you a video. How many of you, or how many of your husbands, or how many of you have a family that is a big sports family? Or was back in the day before the kneeling and the wokeness and the blah, 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 blah. How many of you grew up big football households or hockey households or soccer or basketball? How many racing, whatever it is, golf? How many of you or your family members were big sports fanatics? And I'm sure it'll be a lot of you. So let's break that down. What do I mean by big sports fanatic, or we're a sports family, or we're a football family, or we're a hockey family? What does that mean? CQ said right here. What does that mean? Jessica O'Brien said, I did. Well, I'll tell you what it meant for me, because I don't know what it meant for you. But what it meant for me was, I grew up in Illinois, so the Chicago Bears, in the middle of the country, in Illinois, and the Green Bay Packers, when they played, it was a holiday, folks. Now, I don't know if it still is over there. Thank you, Tina, and I pray that things are going well with you and your husband, okay? God bless you. Now, I don't know what's going on over there with the Bears and the Packers today, because I stopped watching National Football League years ago. But what I do know is, what it looks like is, there are sports memorabilia all over your home. For me, for us, it was the Chicago Cubs, the Chicago Bears, and the Blackhawks. Those were my big three. And the Bulls, I guess the four, because, you know, Michael Jordan. Those were my, that was it. Now, I wasn't a big soccer fan then like I am now. I left all those and just started focusing on European football, or what we know as soccer now. It's just more fast-paced, and there's not a lot of marketing where there's commercials every 5 seconds, and people are out there playing, and they stand for their national anthems. Eli, we got a link in there. Might want to take care of that. So, ladies and gentlemen, what does it mean? You've got memorabilia throughout your house. You've got pictures and plaques up everywhere. You've got jerseys or shirts in your closet or in your bureau that say your favorite sports team on them. You have bumper stickers. You literally make it a holiday when your favorite team plays their rival, and you go out and you tailgate like nobody's ever tailgated before. Am I wrong? That is what being a sports fan, a sports fanatic, or a sports family is like. You almost live, eat, breathe, and sleep that sports team if you grow up in a sports family or if you are a sports fanatic yourself. Now, I want to play a very familiar scene for you, if I may. Now, what you're about to see in the scene is, now you've seen this on social media everywhere. Somebody puts something on this screen that's not really there. I'm going to show you the actual scene that this came from. And it was when, it was in Europe, it was in England, I believe. And when Wales celebrate England winner against Wales at the Euro. So this is a soccer, this was a soccer game. But I just want to show you a very familiar setting. If you're from a football family, you know exactly what this looks like. Go ahead and roll this. Now, the reason I chose sports to show in that one was because that's one of the most fanatical, arms waving, just out there celebrating the greatness of that sport or the player or the play or whatever happened. They just go crazy. Now, the same thing could be said for musicians, and you go to concerts. I remember when Michael Jackson would go around and perform and people would pass out because they seen or touched Michael Jackson. I remember seeing those moments. Favorite politicians. Look at Donald Trump when he goes into a room. People go nuts when he comes into a rally. It doesn't necessarily need to be sports. So what am I going to say about this? Obvious. It's obvious at this point, isn't it? It's okay to celebrate others. As a matter of fact, you want to encourage and celebrate others' success. But have you ever once in your life acted like that, that you just seen on the screen? Because you were gathering at church? Because you were about to praise God? Why do you think that I put out so much God clothing? Because for me, it's like a sports fanatic thing for me. I grew up wearing basketball jerseys and hockey jerseys and football jerseys and shirts and whatever hand-me-downs that I could find to represent my favorite team. And as a matter of fact, in the 90s, it became cool, and Starter and Champion started doing all this thing, and then it was became like a trend to wear sports clothing. I wanted to do that, but for God. I wanted to have shirts that said Armor of God on them. I wanted to have shirts that said Rapture Ready and hats that said Rapture Ready on them so I could wear it like my favorite sports team and actually put the whole outfit together. I can get a Rapture Ready sweatpants. I can get Rapture Ready sweatshirt or t-shirt. I can get a Rapture Ready hat. I can go all over the place repping my favorite team, and that is the team in heaven. Again, how many people do you see that get that excited about worship? About God, about what he's done, about a Bible study for crying out loud. So you see all these people freaking out when their favorite team wins something. You see all these people, and I'm not saying that's wrong because God gave us earthly things to enjoy. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is too much of anything is bad. Too much air is bad. Too much water is bad. Too much salt is bad. Yet you need those things to live. Too much of anything is bad. or not enough of anything that you might need is bad. So why do we go overboard? And where did it go wrong? All the way back to the Roman days of the Colosseum. People just love sports stuff. They love competition. Okay, what about the greatest competition of all time? Good versus evil. What about representing your creator that is greater than all of those things combined? You can take all the sports teams in the world from every different style of sport. Put them together. Put all their fans together. Crying out loud. You could put all 8 billion people on planet Earth watching all sports freaking out like you just saw. And none of that would be God worthy, praiseworthy of God. You'd have to go bigger than that. Bigger than that. But why don't we? Why don't we gather in stadiums every weekend and praise God with our favorite sports team on? Rapture ready, armor of God. John 3:16, Ezekiel, Psalms, Proverbs. We cannot make America godly again until God is more important than our favorite sports teams, our favorite politician, our favorite actors, and our favorite musicians. The one thing that you can't get or that can't harm you to have too much of is the one thing that we brush off daily, and that is Jesus. You can't get too much God. You can't get too much Jesus. You can't have too much Holy Spirit. You can't have too much joy. And if you think you do have too much joy, good, give it to somebody else. Because there's plenty to go around on my team. There's plenty to go around on the team that I play for, and that is the heavenly team. And I'm trying to do on earth as in heaven. And every day is more difficult, and every day my eyes are opened up to more things like that. So my question is God not greater than all of that? And again, I'm not saying that you should not watch sports. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have sports team shirts. I'm not saying that you can't celebrate teams, great people, and things that people accomplish. Of course you can. That's called love and encouragement. What I'm saying is, if that is greater than your worship of God, then there's something wrong. Now, I am a big fan of mixed martial arts. Maybe the biggest fan out of anybody that I know. My brother's a pretty big fan too. And I can't buy all these UFC events that come out every month because they're like $80. But I did buy UFC 300, which just happened last Saturday. And my brother came over, and we sat down, and we stayed awake until almost 2 in the morning. Oh, I hate doing that, because they're on so late, and we watched the fight together. Sunday was a rough morning. But anyway, we stayed up, and we watched that. And we gave it, I think it's 4 hours, from 10 until 1:30 in the morning almost, right? And we're cheering and our arms are in the air. And I remember doing that every single week for football, basketball, baseball, whenever I could afford a UFC fight. And I was thinking about, do we do this for Jesus? Do we get together, wear our favorite Jesus team shirt, get together, grill stuff, make popcorn, have soda or whatever, and just make a night of it? Do we ever do that? And I thought to myself, and I said, I never do that, but I actually do every day right here with you. My arms are in the air every single morning right here with you. I'm dancing off camera. I'm singing off camera. My arms are raised. I am praising my Lord and Savior every single day. I don't need to wait for a weekend anymore, ladies and gentlemen. I don't need to wait for Sunday. I don't need to wait for any of that stuff. I can do it every day, and I do. And I got to be honest with you. Most times you'll see me wearing a shirt or a hat, something that represents my Lord and Savior, like I used to with sports teams. I only have two sports things right now. No, I have four, excuse me. I have two old Chicago Bears things that I never wear anymore. Never wear anymore. And I have two new soccer things that me and my son bought when we went to the soccer games. And I've become a huge soccer fan because it's not a woke sport right now. Now, the American Olympic woke soccer team was woke, but that's about it. And I'm having a great time with my son, enjoying sports that he loves and not watching the woke kneeling, watching people stand for the national anthem and all this other greatness. And I thought to myself, I said, I would much rather be where I am right now, raising and praising and wearing my God shirts and wearing my God hats and literally having an hour with you. It's like we get together every day for a game. Oh, there's a game tomorrow. Who's it between? Good and evil. Which side are you on? Right? Ladies and gentlemen, there is a degree of praise in something that is greater than. So we're built in. We're built into praise. And I want to take you to open up your Bibles, please, to Psalm 96, 3 through 6. And I'll wait. Psalm 96, 3 through 6. And this is a very, very important verse that will connect everything with what I'm saying. Again, think about this while you're opening up to Psalm 96, 3 through 6. There's a degree of praise in something that is greater than. And here we go. 96, 3 says, "Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all peoples." Verse 4, "For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods." Verse 5, "For all the gods of the peoples," ready for this, folks, "are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens," not made a basket, not made a field goal, not made the game-winning touchdown, not made the game-winning penalty shot in soccer. No. He made the heavens. Verse 6, "Splendor and majesty are before him." Is there splendor and majesty before any player on any sports team ever? And that includes Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods? The answer is no. "Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary." So let's go back to what I said. It says, "For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." So I wrote down, there is a degree of praise in something that is greater than. And if the Lord is greater than anything else, then he is worthy of a greater praise than anything else. Can you imagine a Bible reading or a Bible study that had all of those people that were in that bar or in that pub? And all of a sudden, we're reading through Moses, we're reading through Exodus, and Moses is leading the Jews out of Egypt, And and the whole crowd sitting there listening or watching this happen on camera or somewhere on a movie. And all of a sudden, they think that they're going to die. They think that they're behind in score and the time is running out. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We need our favorite player in there. Moses steps up with a rod and says, I got you. Boom! Parts the Red Sea. Literally leads everybody to safety. And the sea swallows up their enemies. They come from behind. They win. Game-winning touchdown. And all of a sudden, the whole church starts jumping up in praise like that. Woo! Woo! Oh, my Lanta! Can you believe this? He did it! He did it! Can we see that? I want to be a part of that. The closest thing that I've ever gotten to that is thousands of Christians doing just that was a Christian worship concert. That's it. Imagine if we did this as a country and we really made America godly again. Wouldn't that be nice? If the Lord is greater than anything else, then he's worthy of greater praise than anything else. So my question to you is today, of all the things that you get excited about, the things that you worship, the things that you get loud about, the things that make you raise your hands and clap your hands about and celebrate because of the greatness that it is, do you get more excited about worldly things or do you get more excited about godly things? Because, folks, God is great. He's the greatest. And he is to be greatly praised. Which is going to lead me to, now, I know normally I don't play many. I do twice a week because I don't want to overload you. But Ray Comfort came out with a video yesterday about Iran and Israel and all of this. And I thought it was very appropriate, important, and too important not to wait until Friday to play it, because Friday he's going to have another one out. So I hope you don't mind. But here we go.
I'm going to show you how Iran is hidden in Bible prophecy. The nation of Iran has finally come out of the closet. Never before has it openly attacked Israel. Like a camouflage predator, it's remained snarling in the shadows, but it's never attacked.
Major new escalation in the Middle East. Tonight, Iran launched an unprecedented attack on Israel.
Israel remains on high alert at this hour following Iran's first ever full-scale attack on that country.
It is, however, one of the five nations that the Bible says will come down upon this tiny nation that has indeed become a burdensome stone for all nations, just as the Bible said it would. In Ezekiel 38, verse 5, written nearly 3,000 years ago, the scriptures tell us that one of those five nations is Persia. Historically, Persia has referred to an area located in the southwestern part of Iran, known as the Persian Empire, which existed from approximately 550 BC to 330 BC.
The story of the Persians begins here, on the Iranian plateau.
In the early 20th century, Iran was still known as Persia in the West. But in 1935, the monarch of Iran officially requested that the international community refer to his country as Iran instead of Persia. This was meant to emphasize Iran's Aryan heritage and reflect the country's modern identity. Most don't know that the word Iran is derived from the word Aryan.
They were called the Indo-Iranians, but referred to themselves as Aryans, meaning noble, and where the name Iran comes from.
Coincidentally, the Jew-hating Nazis also adopted the same word, Aryan, to describe their ideal race. Hitler was convinced that the Aryan superiority was threatened by the Jews, and because of that, he wanted to annihilate them. In the past, Iran has openly supported terrorism by backing militant groups like Hezbollah in Lebanon and Hamas in Gaza, both of which are proven enemies of Israel. Again, it has never openly attacked Israel. This is the beginning of a new era. Meanwhile, Israel has serious concerns about Iran's expanding nuclear program. It fears that their pursuit of nuclear capabilities could pose a serious threat to Israel's existence.
The fear now is this could be the beginning of a dangerous escalation that has the potential to spiral out of control.
Here are the verses of scripture which identify Iran, again formerly known as Persia, as one of the countries that will attack Israel. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, Persia. In the latter years, you'll come back into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people. Make sure you watch this whole video to find out the identity of those four countries, besides Iran, who according to the Bible will attack Israel in the last days. We often hear that Jews, particularly in Israel, are anti-Christian. And yet I've found that most Jews to whom I speak are very open to the gospel, as was the case with this Jewish gentleman. Watch what it was that opened his eyes. What do you think about what we talked about?
Illuminating, enlightening.
You're Jewish?
Yeah.
So you've read the scriptures?
You learned them in high school, but you know, in elementary school, but not like religiously, let's say it like that.
Do you believe in God's existence?
Somewhat. I believe there is like a general force over there in the universe. To define it as God or to define it like, there is an energy, that's for sure.
Is this energy intelligent?
For sure, it's connecting between all of us.
Yeah, there's life in all these things and God's the giver of life. On Judgment Day, how are you going to do?
Judgment Day?
Do you know who Solomon is in the Bible?
Of course, the smartest man in the world.
He said this, God is going to bring to judgment every secret thing, whether it is good or evil. So fear God and keep his commandments. Are you familiar with the commandments, the Ten Commandments?
Yeah, of course. Those are Jewish Ten Commandments.
How many can you name?
All of them.
Let me hear you.
Okay, don't lie, don't cheat. Respect your mom and your dad. Don't kill nobody. Don't steal, obviously. I think you shall not carry the name of God for the vain, something like that. In the Torah, you have basically two sentences that summarize the whole philosophy. The first one, it's don't do to your friend what you hate that people do to you, which means respect your friends.
That's the golden rule. Do to others as you'd have them do to you.
Exactly.
And the words of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount.
And the second one that you have, in Hebrew it's called Derech Eretz Kadma LeTorah. It's basically speak about the way that you are acting as a person and the way that you are acting towards the world. That's 50 times more important than any religious that you can do. First of all, be a good and kind human being, and only then talk about the religious, which means if you're talking about religious but you're not a good person, it's fake, it doesn't worth it. It's better to first of all be human and then talk about religion.
So are you a good person?
I'm trying to be.
How many lies have you told in your life?
A lot.
Ever stolen something?
Probably.
So you're a lying thief?
No, I don't think that we are being measured by that.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Probably.
Would you ever use your mother's name as a cuss word?
My mom was a curse word? No.
Oh, that would...
Mom's golden.
Yeah, your mom's golden. But God isn't golden to you because you've used his name as a cuss word.
I'm not using it to swear.
But you're using it in vain. Ben, I appreciate your patience with me. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, you've heard it said by them of old, you shall not commit adultery. That's the seventh commandment. But he said, but I say to you, whoever looks upon a woman to lust for her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Probably.
When did you last look at pornography?
A couple of weeks.
So Ben, this is for you. This is not for me. This is for you to judge yourself. You've told me that you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart, and you've got to face God on Judgment Day, as Solomon said. If he judges you by the Ten Commandments, you're going to be innocent or guilty?
Innocent. There is level and priority for these commitments.
Well, the Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. No thief, no adulterer, no blasphemer.
Like very old religious language that is not existed today. Today you need to find the common ground between what's happening realistically and what's happening in the Bible. And I think it's more important to every place that you've been to leave it as a better place Based on that, you're going to be judged for great. Simple as that.
Tell me, what happened at the Passover?
What do you mean?
Well, you celebrate the Passover.
Okay.
The blood was put on the doorposts, the blood of the lamb, mm-hmm. and death passed over. Well, the Bible says death is wages given to us by God. God's going to put you to death for your sins. That's why you die. The soul that sins, the Bible says, it shall die. Okay. God's given us the death sentence. Okay. But he provided a lamb whose blood can save us from death. No, that's fine. When John the Baptist saw Jesus for the first time, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Let me say that again.
No, you don't need to repeat it. It's okay.
Let me just say, I'm Jewish.
Okay.
I'm Jewish, and I believe the scriptures as you do. And God promised he would deal with death. He did, through the Messiah. He provided a lamb to suffer and die on the cross to take the punishment for the sin of the world. Mm-hmm. So the God of Israel has provided a way for you to find everlasting life. So please don't be distracted, Ben. This is so important. I love you, I care about you, and I'm trying to tell you how you can live forever. The God of Israel has provided salvation for all humanity. Isaiah said, "Ho, everyone that thirsts, let him come to the waters and drink." What do you think about what we talked about?
Illuminating, enlightening.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. I love the way Ray tells Jews that he's Jewish, because we are. We just are Jewish. You can't be a Christian unless you are Jewish first. You're either all of the Bible or you're none of the Bible. And if you're only Jewish and reject Christ, you might as well be none of the Bible. That's why it's so important that we spread this message every day. Now, some people will say, then why are they God's chosen people if they're so stubborn and if they won't even accept Christ? That's a good question, but it's not one for you and I to answer. God chose people, period. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. We are an extension, the next version of those people, because we are completed Jews. We are completed Jews. And I'd be willing to bet that we know more about the Old Testament than most Jews do, and that is their Bible, the Torah. Remember that always. Or as I like to call them, the originals. So, ladies and gentlemen, did you guys see what happened in Canada? What Justin Trudeau did? Justin Trudeau says praying in public and reading aloud from the Bible in public is hate speech and will now be severely punished in Canada. Watch this. Stop it right there. Bill C-367. Purported to amend the criminal code will redefine the boundaries of speech, free speech, criminalizing public Bible readings. I have friends up there who are public Bible, public Christians that go out there and preach on the street. I wonder what's going to happen. Bible readings, prayers, and other expressions of Christian teachings. But I'll bet you Islam is just fine. This move by Trudeau's liberal government has been interpreted by many as an attempt to criminalize Christianity and traditional values, under the pretense of combating undefined hate speech. See that? Sickening, isn't it? Let's continue. I have a feeling it won't work. I have a feeling that God will not be outdone by Justin Trudeau. You can't beat God, and you are not going to stop his message. It's been tried century after century, millennia after millennia, and we just keep getting stronger. It's a very, very sick thing that's going on up in Canada. But it's not just in Canada. It's happening right here, too. I showed you all of the videos yesterday of the of Jews and Christians being under attack as if like never before, folks. Like never, ever before. I want to also pull this up that I saved for you to see, if I may. Try to put this up on the screen somewhere where it makes sense. So, I want you to read this right here. The Apostle Paul was with Christ for 3 years in ministry, and he didn't even have anything to give to a street beggar except for prayer. Prosperity gospel didn't come from Christ. False preachers made it up to create wealth for themselves. Now, I want to touch on this because this has been something that I wanted to do a whole show about, but I might as well talk about it since it's the topic of this meme that I just showed you. I don't think any pastor should get paid to be a pastor. That's my personal opinion. It's not a big one. It's not nothing that should divide us over it. But I really, 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 really believe that a pastor should not do it as a job and get paid. I really believe that a person should have a regular job and pastor for free, even if that means taking up most of your time. That is my personal opinion. Now, should we still donate to churches' ministries and to keep churches going? Of course we should, in my personal opinion. But what happens when you start introducing a wage to preach, then all of a sudden, I can promise you, somewhere along the lines, in a lot of people, that will come in between the word of God and getting it to the people. I really believe that. Now, I'm not saying that's with everybody. I'm not at all. But I do believe that once you introduce the root of all evil, the desire for money, into the pulpit, the risks of having that money taint the word of God exponentially increases. It's like the difference between driving sober with a seatbelt on and driving drunk with no seatbelt on. If you ask me, my personal opinion. Now, I know that there's pastors out there like my pastor who barely makes any money. And I understand that it's rough and it's hard and he does it for the right reasons. But maybe, just maybe, we should get the money out of the pulpit. Because like I said, it's like, I'm not saying that drunk driver that wears no seatbelt isn't going to make it home that night. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is the chances of him not making it home drastically increase when he's impaired and when he's not being safe. And even if you have the right people in there, I still believe that if a pastor is getting paid to preach the word of God, he should either be passing that money on and have a normal job, or he should not ask for any money whatsoever. That's just my personal opinion. But yes, the church still needs funds. The outreach still needs funds. The church still needs to have a place, have lights, have electricity, and all that stuff. That's fine. That's fine, in my opinion. I wanted to make that clear. Well, folks, I hope today's show actually helped you a little bit. I think it helped me to understand that, you know, maybe, just maybe, I need to throw my hands in the air and jump up and down like my favorite team just scored the winning whatever. Maybe, just maybe, we need to do that a little bit more. I don't know. Or maybe in your family, they need to do it a little bit more. The message was clear. That was the message this morning. So I thank you for being here for it. I'm going to take you out the same way I brought you in, and that's some beautiful gospel music. So ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here again today. And remember, it's okay to celebrate others. It is. It's okay to encourage others. Just don't celebrate them more then you celebrate your God. Thank you very much. Mike Crispy and Unafraid comes up next here at 10 o'clock, followed by 2 hours of Live from America right after that. God bless you guys and have a great morning. See you later.
For you're the one that I run to. Teach me how do I know.